being here tonight. Amen. We were in West Virginia this morning. Had a good visit there, so we're just working our way back, so we appreciate the pastor letting us come. Take your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, we're going to learn a little bit about Mormonism tonight. A lot of people, they come to your door, but what do they believe? What do they really believe, should I say? They tell you what they want you to hear, but what do they really believe? We're going to learn a little bit about what they believe and what the Bible has to say about what they believe. Amen. And hopefully I can be a help for you tonight. There'll be a lot of information will be passing your way. And also, we'll be wearing our Bibles out tonight. So we're going to turn to a lot of Scripture. Amen. And so we pray that everything goes well here. And, Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean, knowing the truth." Knowing the truth. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that you come upon us tonight. Please put your power upon me. Give me the words to speak. Give the people the ears to listen, God, so they may know what truth is, God. Well, thank you for it. Amen. The number one converts that get converted from another religion to Mormonism are Baptists. The number one converts that gets converted from another religion to Mormonism are Baptists. Why is that? We don't know what we believe, and we don't know why we believe what we believe. Okay? We're not Baptist because we go to Bible Baptist Church, okay? We're not Baptist because that's what the preacher says we are. We're Baptist because what our beliefs are, amen? We got to know why we're Baptist and what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Because Mormonism, they sound, because they tell you everything they want to hear. Oh, that's exactly what we believe. Oh, yeah, we use the same Bible. We pray to the same God. They'll tell you all that to make it sound good, okay? But what do they really believe? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Ezekiel 44:23, let's read it again. "They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." You better know what the difference is between right and wrong so you can be able to discern what is right and wrong. Okay? The people were coming into the house of the Lord with disrespect at this time. They were polluting, the Bible says, the sanctuary of the Lord. The Lord was not very happy with what was going on, so he started giving specific instructions on how to enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And then after the instructions, he told Ezekiel, he said, teach the people the difference and teach them to discern what is unclean and unclean. So you better know what the difference is so you can discern what is true and what is false. Okay? Know what truth is. You better know what you believe. Amen? You better know what the truth is. And that's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to go to Utah and take the truth to the people of Utah. 200,000 people that were going at 70% Mormon. There's a couple of Bible churches not doing anything. There's a contemporary Southern Baptist church, but nobody giving them the gospel. Nobody standing on the King James Bible. Nobody passing out tracts and knocking on doors. 200,000 people. Somebody's ready to get saved. They just need somebody to tell them. Amen? In Romans chapter 10, I'll turn there. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible is very clear on some things. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, the end of that verse, it says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How shall they hear unless somebody tells them? Amen? Who knows how many people will get saved? Who knows how many Mormons are ready to know what truth is, but that's all they know is Mormonism. If we were going to go out to eat tonight and the only restaurant in town is McDonald's, where are we going to go out to eat at? We're either going to go to McDonald's or we're going to stay home. There's a bigger percentage of people not doing anything than are Baptists out there because there's a Mormon church every 8 blocks. You want to go to church, and the only church in town is Mormon, Latter-day Saints, where are you going to go to church? You know, and some of them, okay, well, that's all there is. So they get converted, or they don't go anywhere. I've run into people who say, hey, I've got family that live out there. They're not Mormon, but they don't go to church anywhere because I can't find one. So I try to find one for them and get them to the closest church that I know of. There's 2,309 Mormon churches just in the Utah alone. Less than 30 independent Baptist churches. That's not very good odds amongst 2.5 million people. Somebody needs to go. That 2%, somebody was asking me, does that include all the Baptists? Yes, it does. Southern Baptists, General Baptists, American Baptists, less than 1% independent Baptists. Somebody needs to give them the truth. Amen? Somebody needs to give them the truth, and that's what we're looking at doing. So you pray for us. Why should we know the truth? What's so important about knowing what truth is? Number one, there are false prophets among us. Number one, There are false prophets among us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. We'll be staying in the New Testament majority of the time. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. Know what truth is. Amen. Know what truth is. Why false prophets are among us. False prophets are among us. Matthew 7, 15, the Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They come knock on your door and go, oh, that's all right, I'm Baptist. Oh, you're almost there. That's just like what we believe, almost. So they take it out to the Methodists and the Catholics to tell them the same thing. Hey, you're almost there. Hey, we use the King James Bible just like you do. They held a King James Bible in front of Mitt Romney, who was just running for president not too long ago, a Temple Mormon, served 2.5 years as a Mormon missionary in France. They said, hey, do you believe the King James Bible cover to cover, word for word? It was during a Republican debate. He said, yes, I do. And I said, you're lying. Because they don't. They don't believe it word for word. Because if they believe the King James Bible word for word, they wouldn't believe in Mormonism. Amen? Because that's the number one thing that makes us Baptist. Because we go by the belief of what's in that King James Bible. Amen? We go by what that says. That's our guidebook. That's our rule book. Amen? That's what we use. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look just like us. They act like, hey, they use Jesus Christ. They come in the same name that we use. Jesus Christ. You know, this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're using His name. They use, hey, free King James Bible. You ever seen those commercials? Free King James Bible. Go ahead and order one right before the commercial ends. It says sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Go ahead, order you a King James Bible. It's going to be printed word for word just like ours, printed in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which are the Mormons. Then you know what's going to happen a couple months later? Hey, I got something better. They're going to give you this, the Book of Mormon. I got something better. Oh, yeah, we believe the King James Bible, just like you do. They tell you one thing at the door. They tell you another thing once you're in church, and then they tell you something else once they know you. They have you grounded in the church. Okay? Know what truth is. Amen? Know what truth is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, just a few verses down. The Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Hey, they're coming in Jesus' name just like what we are. Oh, why are they the second fastest growing religion behind Muslims? Because they're coming in His name. And people are like, oh, that's almost like what I believe. It's so close. And they're so dedicated, and they're so indoctrinated in what they know, it wins people over, you know? Because they're dedicated. They're saying, hey, that guy's true about what he believes. Better know what truth is. Better know what truth is. Why are Baptists the number one converts to Mormonism? Because they don't know what truth is. Amen? Why do Baptist preachers say, hey, maybe Mormonism is the right religion? They don't really know what that Bible says. Amen? Better know what truth is. Know what truth is. If anybody in here knows a Mormon, if you work with a Mormon, or if you had a Mormon come knock on your door, raise your hand. Anybody like that? Over half. About 60, 70% of the crowd here tonight. 60,000 Mormon missionaries worldwide. Somebody needs to give them the truth. Why you got more people indoctrinated? Why you got more people spreading a false belief than we do the truth? Amen? We have the truth. Amen? 2.5 years of their own expense, knocking 40 to 80 hours a week, knocking on doors, handing out their Book of Mormon. Boy, if we were half as dedicated as they would, we'd turn the world upside down. We would. They're dedicated about something that's totally false. They're going to hell with a smile on their face, thinking they're going to heaven. Say, hey, I know what truth is. I've been baptized, had my sins cleansed, washed away from my baptism in the Mormon church, and now I'm working my way up trying to get to the highest level of heaven. That's false. There's only one way, amen, and that Jesus paid the price. We don't have to do anything for it. All we have to do is accept it, amen. We thank God for that. But that's not what they believe. They believe in a false doctrine, a false religion. They're coming in His name. Look at verse number 23. And then, well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How sad it's going to be when a Mormon, they think they've done everything they could to get to heaven. And they get up to heaven, and God says, why should I let you into my kingdom? I've been baptized in the Mormon church. I tithe. I did my Mormon missionary work. I did everything the bishop told me to do. And God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Boy, why can't we get somebody out there to give them the truth? So they have the option of knowing what truth is. Amen? So they have, look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 4. I tell you what, we got to give them the option. Amen? We got to warn them. Why can't we go out there and say, hey, I would have gone to hell, but somebody came out and told me the truth. Some of them are looking for the truth. There's just nothing else out there. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 4. For they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, that thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Did everybody you witnessed to in Cambridge get saved? Not everybody, but some do. Amen. Not everybody we talk to in Utah are going to get saved, but some will. Amen, but some will. That's what we're looking for, folks. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for there are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. We got to send somebody out there. They said, hey, you got to go. Whether they listen to you or not, some will and some won't. Oh, and by the way, they're going to be a rebellious house. By the way, it's not going to be very easy, but let them know that there's been a prophet among them. Amen. What if I say, oh, it's too hard? You know, how many missionaries have called you, Pastor, going to Utah? Not very many. Not too many. Somebody's got to go. And we're willing to say, here am I. Send us. Amen. America's a mission field. Amen. We're in a mission field right here in Ohio. All over the place. Somebody needs to go give them the truth. Amen. Somebody needs to go take them the truth and give them that off. Say, hey, Jesus saves. It's not baptism. It's not works. It's Jesus. Amen. And some will listen. Some won't. But boy, I can't wait to write that letter back and say, hey, first Mormon walked down the aisle and got saved and got baptized and joined the church. Boy, I can't wait till that first letter I can write back and tell you that. Boy, isn't that going to be exciting? Because guess what? That's not only exciting about us, but that goes on your account. Because that helps us do that, amen? Because we can't do it without your help, amen? Getting out there. Boy, that's exciting. I can't wait to be able to do that. Because some will listen. And somebody could say, why should I let you into my kingdom? And God will tell them, and they'll go, because I got saved because somebody took the time out of their life and come to Utah and give me the gospel, and I got saved. It wasn't baptism. It wasn't my works. It was because Jesus died on the cross. And guess what? They're going to be allowed to enter heaven because somebody went out to Utah to tell them what truth was. Amen? We got to at least warn them. Amen? We got to at least warn them because God said if you don't even warn them, guess what? The blood is on your hands. You read later on in that chapter. He said if you don't warn them, guess what? And they go to heaven and they go to hell without Jesus, but you could have done something. Guess what? We get the blame for it. Boy, wouldn't that be terrible? Oh, I hate to have that happen. I got to go out there. Amen. We got to get out there and give them the truth. Amen. We got 11 months. And I tell you what, the more I'm on deputation, the more I'm ready to get out there. Amen. Say I'm excited about being out there. I told my wife I've already tried to get some dates set in the future of getting out there. And the support has been coming. The first 6 or 7 months, we were at 10% every month. I stopped telling my percentage because it's getting so discouraging. You know, month after month, same percent. And all of a sudden, this church takes us on. And 3 more churches take us on. And 6 more churches take us on. Amen. We hope to be out there. And if it's been going the way it has been the last few months, we'll be out there within the year. Amen. Getting out there and giving the truth because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. We don't know whether it's going to be tonight or 100 years from now. But we got to tell everybody we can about the gospel. Amen. We got to get out there before it's too late. We got to win everybody we can before that trumpet sounds. Amen. So you pray for us as we get out there quickly so we can give them the truth because Jesus is going to come. He might come before we get out there. That's why we got to witness right now. We've seen people saved. Why we've been on the road. Amen. Seeing people saved and come to know Jesus. Why wait till Utah to get people saved when you can do it right here and right now. Amen. We thank God for that. I tell you what, Jeremiah 17, verse number 5. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Boy, when I read that, I said, that's it. What are they trusting in? Mormons are trusting in a man named Joseph Smith. If you're not aware of him, Joseph Smith was born in 1802 when he was 14 years old. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came down in person to speak to him. Okay? Came down in person and talked to him and said, hey, we want you to be the one. And Joseph Smith was, well, you know, what is the true religion? I've been to the Baptist church. I've been to the Methodist church. I've been to the Lutheran church. Who, what is the true religion? You know what God told them? None. That's what God told them. He said, what he claims. None. None told me that, God said none. He said, well, which is the true religion? Well, you stay faithful and knowing what wisdom is, and we'll show you where the true church is. Because we want you to bring out that true church, that lost church, and bring out that lost testament of Jesus Christ. So a couple years later, Moroni, an angel from heaven, okay? I'm still looking for that word Moroni in the Bible, amen, preacher? You let me know if you find it, okay? Moroni, an angel from heaven, came down and told Joseph Smith where the golden tablets of the Book of Mormon were. Because he was going to be the one to bring out this lost church, to bring out this lost religion that's been lost for hundreds and hundreds of years. So what happened? He goes to that hole, happened to be only a mile from his house. How convenient. Be a mile from his house, and there was the hole under that rock. And Moroni said, there it is, the golden tablets of the Book of Mormon, and dig them up. He digged them up, and there they were. The golden tablets of the Book of Mormon written in Egyptian, reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Okay? And also in that hole was the Urim and the Thummim, which was the special spectacles to be able to read the reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Isn't that convenient? So what he did, he ended up using the Urim and the Thummim, and also looking inside of a hat at a peat stone to find out what the hieroglyphics were talking about, what they were saying. And out came the Book of Mormon in 1830. Him and a buddy of his was able to publish the Book of Mormon in English language. Okay? And he was able to use that. And since 1830, Mormonism has been on the rise. Over 12 million Mormons worldwide right now, the second fastest growing religion. They're not the biggest, they're the second fastest growing. They said by the rates that they're growing, by the year of 2080, there'll be 285 million Mormons. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of Mormons. They said at the rate that they're growing right now. Somebody's got to give them the truth. Amen? Somebody's got to take them the truth. Joseph Smith used that Book of Mormon and said, hey, this is the lost sheep. This is the lost church. Come follow me. And eventually, they were heading west. In Illinois, actually, they were in Ohio for a little bit. And then they ended up dying. He ended up dying in Illinois, got killed. And Brigham Young ended up taking the Mormon. He took the rain and took them to Utah. And that's how they established in Utah. They were the first people to establish Utah. That's why it's such a Mormon-dominated state. And that's where the hub of Mormonism is. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. They missed that verse, didn't they? Look what it says just two verses down in verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Mormonism will raise Joseph Smith higher than they do Jesus Christ. If you go to a church service, they'll preach Joseph Smith, not Jesus Christ. They think Jesus is just our older brother, brother of Lucifer, and he's just on a planet somewhere, and he's a God, and God is a God on another. They don't pray to God. They pray to their heavenly Father, because God's on a planet somewhere having kids. Jesus is on another planet being a God and having kids, and that's what we're trying to attain, being a God and having kids above our own planet. Well, that's crazy. This is what they believe, folks. This is what they believe for their eternal salvation. Somebody's got to tell them the truth. They believe in three different levels of heaven. First level of heaven is where all the bad people go. Okay? Second level of heaven, if you believe in something, you'll go to the second level of heaven. So Baptists, Catholics, Mormons who've just been baptized and not done any works, they'll make it to the second level of heaven. And also Baptists, Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, if you believe in something and you think you have the truth, but you're blinded, according to them, you only make it to the second level of heaven. If you're a good Mormon in good faith, you make it to the third level of heaven. But what is that? Being baptized in the Mormon church. Also, tithing. You can get the tithes deducted right out of your paycheck in Utah, because they don't want you to miss third level of heaven. Boy, they're concerned about you. They're concerned about their pockets, what they're concerned about. Tithing, 10% is a minimum requirement unless the bishop says otherwise. Hey, next Sunday, give it all Sunday. I want your whole paycheck. You give your whole paycheck or you miss third level of heaven. Whatever the bishop says for you to do, that's what you do. Hey, you're to teach this Sunday school class. You're to go on this Mormon missionary trip. That's what you do, because he is the voice of God, is what they call it. Okay? Also, becoming 2.5 years as a Mormon missionary of your own expense and doing whatever they tell you to do. That's how you get to that third. That's what you're striving to be, to get to that third level of heaven. The celestial kingdom is what they call it. Say, well, I want to become my own God. I want to go above the third level of heaven and become my own God of my own planet. Well, you got to be married, number one. You got to be married, number one. Number two, you got to be Mormon, of course. Be a good Mormon in good faith. You go through an intense interview with the bishop to make sure you are approved and allowed to get into the temple, which is different from the church. Okay? If you look on our prayer card, on our display, that is one of the temples. There's 129 temples right now all over the world. And what they are is that's when you've been married, you want to get married for eternally, then you'll get approved to go into this temple. Only good, faithful Mormons are even allowed into the temple. So you go into the temple and you'll get married. Because we were out there for 7 days on a survey trip, and we were driving by these temples, and Tuesdays there was a wedding going on. Thursdays there was another wedding going on. I said, well, back in Indiana, we get married on Friday and Saturday. You know, I said, what's going on? They said, well, those are temple marriages. So what you do is you just find a time slot, because you get on a waiting list. Wherever the time slot's available, they have weddings all through the week. So you go there to get married in the temple. As long as you remain married and remain a good Mormon in good faith, then you will die and go up to be your own God of your own planet to supply your own children. You can be, the husband will be the God, wife will be the goddess. That's what their ultimate goal is. That's what they believe for their eternal salvation. We've got to give them the truth. Amen. They need the truth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, you wonder why people say, how can people believe such a ridiculous religion? Matthew 24, 11, the Bible says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The Bible came out way before the Book of Mormon ever did, amen? And they said, hey, God's going to say, hey, these false religions are going to come about. Joseph Smith didn't bring out the Book of Mormon, and God goes, uh-oh, now what do I do? He knew this was going to come up. This was no surprise. Jehovah's Witnesses, all these religions were going to come about, and he knew it. And he was warning us, people are going to be deceived. Know what truth is, amen? And shall deceive many. People are going to be deceived. Matthew 24, verse 24. The Bible says, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Joseph Smith claimed to have over 135 brand new revelations from God. Boy, your wife ever gives you a honey-do list, and she's in there in the kitchen working hard and making supper and washing the dishes, and she looks in the living room, and you're watching the ball game. You've been busted, right? But guess what? You know what Joseph Smith's wife used to catch him doing? She'd look in the living room, and he'd find, I mentioned earlier, he had his head inside of a hat looking at a peat stone. Well, that's ridiculous. That's how he was getting his revelations from God. So God was speaking to him, according to what they believe. He said, show great signs and wonders. People say, well, hey, he talked to God in person. An angel came down and visited him. Hey, boy, he had to be the true guy. He had to be the true prophet. False Christ, false prophet. He claimed to heal the sick and raise the dead. He claimed to heal, raise Brigham Young's son back to life. That's what won Brigham Young over. Yeah, I know somebody else who raised the dead and healed the sick, a man named Jesus Christ. Amen? But hey, they shall show great signs and wonders. They're going to win these people over. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Said the very elect we're going to be deceived. Look at that. Well, you know what? Over 80% of the people in Utah have had at least 1 year of college, if not graduated. Very smart, intelligent people are Mormons. If you look into it. Mitt Romney running for president, governor of Massachusetts, Temple Mormon. His dad, governor of Michigan. If you drive up and down the road, you'll see the semis. England, they'll say England on them. They're the semis that run up and down the highway if you travel much. They run all over the United States. Guess who Mr. England is? A Temple Mormon. He was a Mormon missionary to the South. He had he needed, after he was done with his mission work, went back to Utah as a farmer. He didn't like farming, so he got him a pickup truck and started delivering supplies. Now he delivers all over the USA, big semi-trucks. The major headquarters is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Boy, very smart, intelligent people. Some places of business, some companies I'm going to mention to you that here in just a minute are either CEOs or have stock in, okay, that they get a part of. these industries that we went to, we shopped at, we eat at, Walgreens, JetBlue Airline, Denny's. We eat there all the time, or sometimes, you know. Dr. Pepper, you like Dr. Pepper? Guess what? Mormons own stock in that, you know. And many other places that they own stock in. Why is it? Because they're intelligent, smart people, great morals, great family life, but are deceived and on their way to hell. And that they will burn forever unless somebody can give them the truth. Because some will listen. Some will listen. We got to get out there. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:13, the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." What's that have to do with Mormonism? Joseph Smith claims that John the Baptist came down from heaven and baptized them. Okay? John the Baptist baptized Joseph Smith. That's what they claim. Then after that, Peter, James, and John came down and ordained him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He said, people are going to be deceived, and this is how it's going to be done. Hey, he couldn't qualify as an apostle. Amen? He couldn't qualify as a prophet. He had prophecy that didn't come true. If you had a prophecy that didn't come true, you were disqualified as a prophet. Because every one of the prophets in the Bible, what they prophesied came to pass. Amen? But he said, oh, the vision, the Jerusalem is going to be in Independence, Missouri. That's where he thought Jerusalem was going to be. That's where they thought the Mormon headquarters were going to be. So they buckled down. They fought their way into it. They started building. And guess what? They got ran out of Independence, Missouri. And Joseph Smith, well, God changed his mind. That right there disqualifies him as a prophet. Amen? And then they end up going to Utah. And that's where Jerusalem's going to be. Okay? You better know what truth is. You better know what the difference between what right and wrong is. Amen? So you can be able to discern what right and wrong is. Number one, there's false prophets among us. Number two, there are false doctrines among us. With false prophets come false doctrines. Amen? If we were going to come out with a book called Leafleyism, amen, Pastor? If we're going to come out with a religion called Leafleyism, amen, then guess what? We'd have to come out with a new book, a book of Leafley, amen? Why? Because if it lined up with the Bible, then we end up being a Baptist, amen? Because if it didn't, then we'd have to come out with another book. Well, Muslims came out with the Quran. Joseph Smith came out with the Book of Mormon. Jehovah Witnesses came out with the Watchtower Society and the New World Translation. Every time a religion came, guess what? There was a new book that showed up. And that's what happened. With false prophets come false doctrines. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies." I like how God tells it like it is. Amen? "Even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Denying the Lord that even brought them. You know, Jesus died for Mormons just like he died for you. Amen? He died for those people out in Utah. He said, hey, I gave my life for them. Somebody needs to go tell them. Somebody needs to be willing to say, hey, who's going to go to Utah? Who's going to tell them? He's looking for a man. He said, hey, somebody's got to go give them the truth. Towns out west are hundreds of thousands of people and no independent Baptist churches. Somebody's got to go give them the truth. Amen? Somebody's got to warn them about a place called hell. Who will go? Even denying the Lord that brought them. They say, hey, Jesus, they say Jesus died on the cross. They believe that. Believe that he died on the cross so that we can get baptized and that will cleanse our sins away and clear the path so we can work our way to heaven. That's what they believe, the purpose of him dying on the cross is. Somebody needs to give them the truth. They shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. They claim Joseph Smith was a martyr for the faith, persecuted as a lamb being brought to the slaughter. A lamb goes willingly, amen? That's why Joseph Smith had a gun and killed three men on the way of him being martyred, persecuted for the faith. Number one, he was in jail for breaking the law. And then number two, as they were trying to, as the lynch mob was trying to get him, he had a gun hidden away and shot three men and killed two of them. But he was a lamb being brought to the slaughter. Jesus went willingly, amen. He could have sent 10,000 angels, but he did not. He gave up his life, amen, willingly that we may go to heaven. He was the true martyr. He was the true persecutor. He was the true one that got persecuted for the faith. Somebody needs to give them the truth. They denied the Lord that even brought them. Say what? Baptism cleanses their sin. I tell you what, boy, they missed John 14:6. They don't like that verse where Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, but by the Father." Amen. They don't like that verse. They don't like that verse. Somebody needs to give them. They don't like Ephesians 2:8-9. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, unless any man should boast. They don't like that verse either. Amen? Mormon comes to your door and tries to win you over and try to persuade you into their religion. Give them those verses. They said, you believe salvation by works? You know what they'll tell you? Yes. They'll say, oh, really? Let me show you this verse. What do you think about it? And then ask them, do you believe the King James Bible? Don't debate them. Don't argue with them because you're not going to do nothing by doing that. But show them verses. Try to plant the doubt of seed in their mind, the seed of doubt in their mind. Try to plant that in their mind. You show them and say, well, what do you think about this verse? And then they'll start going to another verse because they can't answer you. But not of works. Very clear. Amen. It is a gift of God. When they added the Book of Mormon, they took away something. When they added to the Bible, they also took away something. Revelation chapter 22:18, the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. When they added to the Bible, they also took away something. You know what they added? Works. Amen? They added works. Look what it says in 2 Nephi chapter 25 and verse 23. This is right out of their book. It says, know that it is by grace that we are saved, comma. Uh-oh. That should be a period right there. Amen? But it says, for by grace that we are saved, comma, after all we can do. There it is. Contradiction to the Word of God. But they said, oh, it lines up. Well, the King James is wrong. That's where the Book of Mormon steps in. Well, if it's got one thing wrong in it, how do you know how many else is wrong with it? What else is wrong with it? Right? It says right in the introduction. It says right in the introduction. It says, some minor errors in the text have been perpetuated in the past editions of the Book of Mormon. Hey, this has been changed almost 4,000 times. But it's the most correct book, they claim. How many times has the King James Bible been changed? Amen? It's perfect. Amen? Perfect. There's been almost 4,000 changes. But what else? What else does it say in the Book of Mormon? We'll go to that in just a minute. What does it say? Well, you know what? You give them that verse in Revelation? Then they'll say, well, that's just talking about Revelation. Well, what about Deuteronomy 4:2 where it says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. When God says it once, it settles it. But when he says it again, he's trying to get a point across. Amen? He's trying to say, hey, don't mess with it. Amen? Don't mess with it. They added works. And they took away our free gift at the same time. If I say, Pastor, I appreciate you letting us come. I'm going to give you this free gift from me to you. I got a new Book of Mormon for you. Amen? No, I'm going to give you this free gift. And he goes to take it. I'm going to say, wait a second. I've been traveling a lot. I've been gone for a couple weeks. You mind washing our car? And then I'll give you this free gift. If you go on the Mormon website, they'll say you received the free gift of eternal life by earning grace. Now, hold on a minute. That's a contradictory statement, isn't it? Well, I'm going to give you this free gift, but you got to wash my car to receive this free gift. Hey, it's Christmas time. Kids, you get all these presents from us to you. But let's go out and plow the snow or shovel the snow because you ain't going to get the gifts until we go plow the snow. But it's not a free gift in our ears. It's no longer a gift. Because if it's a gift, I paid for it. I spent the time and bought it. And all he has to do is receive it. Amen. Jesus paid the price. It's a free gift. Amen. The free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He paid the price. He did the work for it. All we have to do is receive it. But when he has to work for it, he has now earned it, and it becomes a debt. Amen. God don't owe us nothing. Amen. We are saved by grace. That's what grace is. Amen. God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price. All we have to do is accept it. Because we have to work for it. It's no longer a free gift. Amen. I'll tell you what. You got to know what they believe. That's why we studied about what they believe. Because you got to know what they believe if you're going to deal with them. Because, hey, if you go to witness to them and you have no idea what they believe, they're all saved and they're all going to heaven and they believe just like you and me. But if you know what they believe, you know how to deal with them. Amen. And you've got to know your Bible. Then when a Mormon comes along and says, hey, I believe just like what you believe. And then you start going into what they believe. Guess what? It's a contradiction. Okay. Know what truth is. Amen. Know what truth is. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, the Bible says, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. For if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Preaching another Jesus. Let me show you another verse in the Book of Mormon that contradicts with what they believe. And this shows you how close they are into believing, into making you think they believe what you believe. And behold, he shall be born. This is Alma chapter 7 and verse 10 of the Book of Mormon. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is in the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and bring forth the Son, yea, even the Son of God. Now listen, Mary, right, Mother of Jesus, right, we believe that. Conceived by the Holy Ghost, we believe that, amen. Even bring forth the Son of God, they even have Son of God capitalized. And boy, that's just like what we believe. Did you hear what that part that they threw in? Did anybody catch that? Where did they say Jesus was born in? Right, Jerusalem. Uh-oh, see how he threw a twist in there? Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, where does the Bible say Jesus was born? Bethlehem, amen? Pastor Leafley, does your mail go to Columbus or does it go to Cambridge? Because if it went to Columbus, then you'd be in trouble, right? You'd never get any mail. Oh, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, it's all the same thing. About a 20-mile difference. Columbus, Cambridge, what's the difference? It's in the same state, right? It's in the same region, big difference. They might believe in a Jesus Christ, but it's not the same Jesus Christ that we believe in, amen? Another Jesus. They're preaching another Jesus. Hey, Paul warned, the people are going to preach another Jesus. They're going to give you another gospel. Beware. Hey, he was trying to warn us. Galatians 1:8, they don't like this verse either, by the way. But though we or an angel from heaven, who's Moroni? Who do they claim Moroni is? Angel from heaven. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Did Paul have a Book of Mormon on him? No, because this didn't come out till 1830, right? Just 100, a little over 100, about 100 and whatever years ago, 180 years ago, you know? Unbelievable. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, let him, let me read it again. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, stay away from it, or an angel from heaven. Boy, they don't like that verse. They start backing off. Start backstepping when you give them that verse. Because that nails it down. Amen? That nails it down. Because Paul didn't have a Book of Mormon on him. He said, hey, so they're going to preach to you another Jesus. They're going to claim angels come down from heaven and give you another gospel. And Paul said, stay away. Because you're going to be in trouble if you do. He's trying to warn us. trying to know what truth is. Amen. How do we know what truth is? Get into your Bible. Amen. Read in Isaiah 40, 34, 16. It, the Bible says read. Amen. It said read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. Study that Bible. Read that Bible. Get into that Bible. Memorize it. Amen. Psalms 119, 11. Memorize that Bible. Get that Bible in your heart. Amen. Meditate on the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate therein day and night. Know what that Bible means. Know what that Bible, don't just read it flippantly. Study it. Read it. Amen. Meditate on it. Memorize it. So when a Mormon comes or a false religion comes and knocks on your door and they start saying stuff that doesn't quite sound right, a light ought to go off. Amen. An alarm ought to go off. Say, hey, that's not what I've read. Stay faithful to church. That's not what I've learned in church. Amen. Listen to your preacher. That's not what my preacher preached about. Amen. But study it for yourself. Study that Bible for yourself and say, hey, that's not what that says. Know what the real thing is. You know what? And the FBI agents, you know how they learn? You know what? From real money is a counterfeit. They put them in a room for 2 or 3 days and have them count money. The real money. They count money. Count and count and count. About the third day, they put in a counterfeit bill. And when they come across and say, uh-oh, that don't look right. That don't seem right. It doesn't feel right. Why? Because they got them used to what the real thing is. Amen. If you get used to what the real thing says, amen, and a false religion comes about, you're going to say, uh-oh, that don't sound right. That's not what I've read. That's not what I've been trained in. Amen. Better know what truth is. I was just talking to a military guy in North Carolina, and he goes, that's the same thing when we check each other's parachute, all the equipment for them jumping out of the plane of thousands of feet high. You better learn what that equipment does. He said they go over that equipment over and over, and they check all the straps and all the buttons and all the releases and all the cables and make sure everything's right, and they do that for a couple of days. And he says all of a sudden they tell you to check it again, and you look at something and go, something's not right. And they put a flaw in there to see if you would catch it. Why? Because they got them used to what it's supposed to be, and then a flaw came in there and said, uh-oh, this ain't right. Why? Because he knew what the real thing was. Amen. Know what that Bible says. Know what truth is. So when a false religion comes about, you'll be like, uh-oh, that ain't right. Amen. That ain't right. Don't let me come back here and say, hey, I used to be Baptist, but Mormon came, and that sounded pretty good. Now I'm a Mormon. Know what truth is. Know what truth is. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that came. Thank you for their faithfulness and the coming on a beautiful Sunday night, God. Just help them, God, and use them. God, help them to know what truth is. Well, thank you for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here tonight that says, Brother Harris, Pastor Leafley, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I've ever received that free gift. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know a time where I personally asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Is there anybody like that? Will you slip your hand up? Love to be able to show you what truth is and be able to take you through the Bible and know for sure that you're going on your way to heaven. Anybody like that? You slip your hand up. Amen. I pray everybody here tonight is saved. Say, Brother Harris, I need to know what truth is. I need to get into my Bible a little bit more. Amen. Don't just say, well, that's what the preacher told me. Know it for yourself. Amen. Know it for yourself, but stay faithful to church. Stay listening to your pastor. That's what he's here for. Say, Pastor, I heard this. Somebody came to my door, and it just doesn't sound right. What do you think about it? He'll be able to help you. Amen. And know what wisdom is. Know what truth is. Know what truth is for yourself. Everybody stand to your feet. The music's going to play. You need to deal with at the altar. The altar's going to be open. If you need to deal with Jesus, then talk to God. You come down here and speak and say, hey, I need to know what truth is. I need to get in my Bible a little bit more. Say, hey, I've gotten a burden for Mormons. I need to pray and so they know what the truth is. Second fastest growing religion. We better get serious and about knowing what we believe. Amen. Know what truth is. Thank you.
every wind of doctrine if you don't know what the truth is. It does matter what you believe. All religions aren't going the same direction. Doesn't matter what any politician tells you. We're not all working for the same place. All that generic religious trash that's out there. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Preacher tonight wasn't just knocking somebody's religion. He was pointing out error by the truth of the Word of God. The Bible is right. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Multitudes are believing in wrong gospels and wrong ways to heaven. Wrong roads don't lead to heaven. If you've got some Mormon friends you need to pray for, someone you know that you were just kind of surprised to know they believe some of these things. Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Many things about the Mormon religion would just astound you if you knew what they believe, and you think, how can these semi-intelligent or intelligent people really buy this stuff? It's another gospel. Place one more verse if you would, Shannon.